96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chicago Line is brought to you by Bahamas Customs, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. Just so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I am trusting that you and I are going to make it today because I'm in transition, as you will hear from the background today, but didn't want to leave you stranded on this, budget Wednesday. And so you're going to have to bear with me as much as you could bear with me today as we try to make it through the show today. But I can promise you there's going to be occasions on which you'll hear some noise in the background. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. I have to ask you all a question today. I really do. Those of you who were able to catch the budget communication, what did you hear? What did you get? What excited you? What intrigued you? What did you maybe have some concerns about? Because at the moment, we really only have the budget communication. The actual numbers are not yet available for us to go into because those details have not been uploaded. They may have been uploaded, but they certainly weren't available to me prior to the start of the show. But it'd be interesting for you to tell me what it is you heard, what it is that you thought, what it is that you are interested in. I have some comments myself in due course, but I'm curious to hear from you what it is that you gathered. As I indicated, so far we just have the budget communication. And I have to say, I mean, the budget commission can be wordy. That's not unusual. Some of them can be very long. I recall Prime Minister Christie, Minister of Finance, may have spoken for almost 2 hours giving his communication. But this communication to me was different. It was different to the extent that this is probably the first budget communication that less details was given about the actual budget numbers. Okay, because ultimately this is about the budget, and the budget is the revenue numbers, the budget is the expenditure numbers, and what are the outcomes from revenue versus expenditure in terms of deficit and borrowing. And this budget, you go through the communication yourself, you could tell me this did not have as many details as normal. There were not lots of, there was not details about changes in various expenditure, changes in revenue numbers. There was not much in the way of the borrowings requirement and what would be done outside of the mention of the deficit. And so, you know, there were lots of broad statements about things. There were not lots of, there wasn't too much about new initiatives. There were some, you know, like the government said, it's going to support a national youth guard program. The government said it's going to support a national organ transplant program. The government mentioned again the rent to own housing program, but that's not new to the extent that I remember that Shane Gibson, when he was minister responsible for housing, also mentioned a similar something. So, but outside of those, I did not hear announcements, which surprised me. I didn't hear announcements about any major investments, either private or public investments. I didn't hear much about any major capital works. And, you know, so maybe what the government is going to do is change strategy and then allow for ministers to bring those details. But this budget had a different feel to it. To me, it had a different feel. But, you know, you may have gotten something else, and I'm eager to hear your take on the communication, if you listened, if you got and you heard it. It was interesting. It was interesting. And to be honest, it didn't surprise me to some degree, because remember what I told you all yesterday when I was talking about what to expect. I was saying that we often approach these budgets with this view that we are going to get some massive, major, game-changing something from it. And in a sense, you could argue that the way the Prime Minister presented the budget was to essentially tell you, you know, stop that. Stop that. That's not what this is. This is not going to be a game-changing set of scenarios for you. And that's how it came across. That's how it came across. You don't walk away from that going, wow. You don't walk away from that going, man, look at that. This is kind of like, this is what it is, bro. This is what it is. Now, you can view that from a number of perspectives. You can view it from the perspective that, you know, it's good to have a government that isn't going to try and fascinate you with grand pronouncements that have no bearing on reality. Or you could say, you know, is the government's fiscal plan out of fuel? Has the steam gone out? It depends on your perspective, right? But what is your perspective? What did you hear? I ain't got nobody texting, nobody calling. You know, you're gonna make me carry this today, the whole thing. I went over the communication twice. I went through it twice. Lots of stuff, you know, the typical standard stuff. I could tell you this much. I did tell you all that the global economic situation is touch and go. Prime Minister mentioned that the IMF forecasts global economic growth at 2.8%. Can I tell you something? I've said this to you all before. Whenever global economic growth is below 3%, the global economy is regarded as in recession. Okay, whenever it falls below 3%, it's in recession. U.S. economic forecast is at 1.6%. That is not a robust, rigorous U.S. economy going forward, right? Now, I tried to get from the budget communication what the forecast was for Bahamas growth in the upcoming fiscal year. I think I read 4.2%. I think that's what I read. And you would recall, I said that you should expect growth around that same amount. That's a continuing good recovery, but that's not the economy that pushes the Bahamas.
Make your morning sizzle with breakfast from Burger King Nassau. Enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75, including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with Burger King's savory sizzling sausage and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. So say hello to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75, including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Mocha frap with almond milk. No whip?
That's me. Thanks. I know what I want for my coffee and for my wealth management plan. That's why I rely on the personalized care I get from my dedicated RF Private Wealth Advisor. With RF, I get a customized strategy designed for what's important to me, like protecting my assets, evolving with changing markets, and making sure my money keeps on growing. For tailor-made wealth management, I trust RF Private Wealth.
Learn more at rfgroup.com.
Hey, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, it's a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
I'm not afraid.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Just so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this budget day, budget Wednesday, as we try to make it through through a discussion about the communication of the budget, because that's all we got so far. I have not seen the numbers, the details, so I can't even really look at what the numbers say versus some of the things I mentioned. I expected to happen today. It wasn't uploaded by the time that I had come on air. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232. That's 326-232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 4393-0043. Let me give you some texts I've gotten from people so far. This text says, Mr. Lang, all through the debate, I was thinking about you and what you would be your response to it. Okay. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang, I think I am still sleeping. No taxes. What about NIB? Let me pinch myself because I can't believe it. This text says everything was positive and they aim to balance the budget next year, ambitious. Then this says, Mr. Lang, the budget was lacking information the Bahamians need to hear for now, says those that particular text. The government did announce a recurrent surplus, meaning when you look at the part of the budget that has to do with spending on salaries and emoluments and those kinds of rents and stuff like that, that the government expects to receive more revenue than expenditure. And that means a surplus is in the works for this current fiscal year. That's what they have projected for this current fiscal year and for the next fiscal year. And the government, therefore, will not, and as the saying would go, not have to borrow to pay salaries. That's how we like to say it, right? But there is a deficit, a significant deficit on, or a deficit on the capital side of things, coming in below $365 million below what the government had projected it would be for the current fiscal year. And the government is projecting for the next fiscal year a deficit around about the same number, around about the same number that it projected in the last, in this current budget, that it would be. So the government is saying that they will continue to move in the same direction in terms of the downward trajectory on the deficit, the overall deficit. And yes, it is advancing the prospect of a overall budget surplus in the following fiscal year. That would be quite an achievement. But you know how I look at that is, if you still have outstandings, if you still have people, vendors who have not been paid, you still have contractors who have not been paid, and all that kind of stuff, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to talk about a surplus if you still have outstanding arrears to people, because shouldn't you use the surplus to pay people off? Because all you're doing really is cash managing so that your revenue expenditure picture looks better. But if your balance sheet was being examined on the short term on the current side of it, then the balance sheet would look worse, right? And would tell the whole story. So, you know, I don't know what the arrears are in that regard, but surpluses can be beautiful things when there aren't still outstanding payments to be made. And so we don't know what the situation is with respect to that. What do you think? Yogi, talk to me. Yogi, let me know what's going on. I have thoughts, but you know, I want to hear from you, you know. Ordinarily, when you hear Bahamians, look forward to, oh, we are going to reduce duties on this item, on that item. And then you get the people them rocking on the table. None of that was in the budget this year. We're going to invest $25 million in small business development. Rock on the table. None of that this year. And I am not complaining about that. I'm saying the usuals around a budget did not happen in this budget this year. This was like, bro, let me give you all the brass tack realities of this budget. There was a fair amount of platitude around some things about performance and economic performance and what have you. I mean, the Prime Minister spent a lot of time, the Minister of Finance, a lot of time actually talking about the GDP numbers that the Bahamas National Statistical Institute published around what's happening in these islands. And while it is grand and great, we now have actual numbers to reflect the realities of the contributions of these islands to GDP. I mean, like in the budget itself, that...
enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75, including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with Burger King's savory sizzling sausage and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. So say hello to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75, including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Mocha frapp with almond milk. No whip?
That's me. Thanks. I know what I want for my coffee and for my wealth management plan. That's why I rely on the personalized care I get from my dedicated RF Private Wealth Advisor. With RF, I get a customized strategy designed for what's important to me, like protecting my assets, evolving with changing markets, and making sure my money keeps on growing. For tailor-made wealth management, I trust RF Private Wealth.
Learn more at rfgroup.com.
When you get back home from vacation, the last thing you want to do is stand on another line to fill out your exemption paperwork. Well, guess what? You don't. Customs just got simpled with Exempt. Now, with the click of a button, you can fill out your customs form, calculate duties, and even pay online while you're still traveling. Just show your QR code to the customs officer, let them check your bag, and you're out of there. All you have to do is download the Exempt app. It's as easy as 3, 2, 1. Exempt, making travel and customs simple. As of June 12, 2023, this app will become mandatory for all returning residents of the Bahamas. The Exempt app is now available on Google Play or Apple App.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live Host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday, Budget Wednesday afternoon. I warned you all. I don't ever tell people I don't love you all. I knew I was in transition. I knew I wouldn't be in my usual circumstances. So, but I didn't want to not come on the show today, given that it was Budget Day. I'm in immense pain. I don't know what's going on in my neck, but I wanted to be here for you today. And so we're talking about the budget communication. I can't really talk about the budget because I don't have those details of the revenue estimates and expenditure estimates as you would normally have. I only had the communication and was able to read that a couple of times. I'm curious to get your thoughts, and some of you have been sending your thoughts on the matter. Somebody said something that I also picked up that I found interesting. They said it was tight this year, an uncertainty given reported only at 9 months and unpublished. Yeah. I did find it rather interesting too that the Prime Minister essentially talked about revenue performance, fiscal performance for the first 9 months. It is not usual for the budget communication to do that. The budget communication will give provisional outturn, projected outturn for the entire year. But this year, there was really mostly talk about the 9 months, but it later on did give some numbers that seemed to speak to what they expected the outturn in total to be. So I can't say that there were not those numbers, but most of the details were with respect to performance over 9 months. And that cannot certainly give us the accurate or clearest picture about government's financial performance. And so I did pick up on that, and I did find that a bit interesting. Let me tell you all something in case you don't know. The budget preparation is a truly grueling process. And the budget numbers are being managed up until like the early morning before the budget is actually presented. I mean, they could be printing that document. They could start printing that document 3-4 o'clock in the morning, having only gotten it completed to 2 o'clock that morning. Yes, the Minister of Finance still looking at numbers, still slashing here, cutting there, still adding here, still adding there. So it is possible that you could run up into a really, really tight situation trying to deal with the budget. I mean, that's possible. And there's always an effort to signal through the budget improvements in the fiscal circumstance. And that is especially true given that you're going to be borrowing and the credit market wants to see and know what your plan is for ensuring that your fiscal situation is strong enough to carry any additional debt.
Mocha frapp with almond milk. No whip?
That's me. Thanks. I know what I want for my coffee and for my wealth management plan. That's why I rely on the personalized care I get from my dedicated RF private wealth advisor. With RF, I get a customized strategy designed for what's important to me, like protecting my assets, evolving with changing markets, and making sure my money for tailor-made wealth management. I trust RF private wealth.
Learn more at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
To take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. Y'all think somebody trying to stop us from having this conversation today? I don't think so. We've been having some technical difficulty. I'm sorry. We're trying our best to get it done. We'll keep at it. Now, somebody has asked me to talk about the port, Grand Bahama. So the Prime Minister said, Madam Speaker, Grand Bahama contributes 12% of the overall GDP of the Bahamas, yet its economy declined by 9% compared to the previous year. There was warning as the tourism sector witnessed a slight increase in 2022, which was evident in the growth of the accommodation and food service industries. Unfortunately, the statistics show a prolonged decline in Grand Bahamian economy. The evidence confirms the view of my government that the Hawksbill Creek economic model, which was meant to attract foreign direct investment, does not work. Furthermore, in our view, the governance model of the government, the Grand Bahama Port Authority, must change in order to realize the promised growth and prosperity, which we all desire. Additionally, the government of the Bahamas has serious concerns regarding the compliance of the Grand Bahama Port Authority and its related companies with the terms and conditions of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement and its subsequent amendments. Previous administrations have made efforts to tackle the situation, but the issue is clearly systematic and fundamental. We believe the time has come for action. In due course, we will make a separate detailed announcement. Now, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Firstly, let me say that I do not agree that the Hawksbill Creek agreement no longer works for Grand Bahama. I do not agree that. And I can't agree that because there's no Hawksbill Creek agreement of our Commonwealth and things are not working out in those islands. East and West Grand Bahama does not have
a Hawks-Bilkey agreement apply applicable to them. And yet, those areas which are under the control of the government are not developed. They are not seeing any greater progress, and so forth. So how do you then turn around and blame self? Freeport is what it is as a city because of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. There's no question about it. So I don't buy that argument at all. I don't buy that now. What I do buy is this. The Port Authority, if developing and moving the economy of Freeport is a responsibility of it, then clearly that is not happening. And there is utter failure in that regard. So that is inescapable. Freeport's economy has been dwindling and in stagnation from 2004, 2005, thereabouts. And no administration, the Port Authority, has been able to do nothing about it. Nothing. In terms of maintaining Freeport's cleanliness and all that kind of stuff, those things continue. But in terms of the robustness of Freeport's economy, that has not happened. But the government would have a hard time arguing to the Grand Bahama Port Authority about that, when in point of fact, many of our islands have no such economy. Right there in East and West Grand Bahama, there's no such robust economy. So I think we have to be careful here. I think we have to see, folks, listen to me. Bashing the Port Authority is easy politics. That's easy politics. Blaming the Port Authority, that's easy politics. And there is no question that there is legitimate blame to be put on the Port Authority. Blame as in if Freeport's economic health is a function of your part of your performance, there is no question it's not there. So you have to accept your performance is terrible. Okay, so that's clear. But to simply make that argument as in it's the port, or it's the Hawksbill Agreement, what's the alternative? The government takes over the Port Authority and what have you, and that is going to make the difference? What difference is it going to make compared to what difference it makes anywhere else in the Bahamas? If the government is capable of doing things to get Freeport's economy going because it has responsibility for the port of the port, why isn't it doing it now? If the government gets investments to come to Freeport, what is going to happen? The port is going to say no? Nah. I don't want us to get caught up in emotional arguments about things. I want us to discuss the real issues that pertain to things. The Port Authority cannot stand on one single strong leg on the issue of the economy of Freeport. Progressing, growing, developing. Cannot. Okay? And this has been years now. I'm sorry, all my friends and all of those who are at the port. No, sir. The performance is the clearest indication. What I find interesting, though, is just how the government is blaming the port. The port blames the government. There are those in the port who will write editorials and write stuff, and their blame is, subtly sometimes, we need the government's partnership. Tell me what the government is doing to you to cause you to be unable to grow Freeport's economy to port. Let's, in cryptic language, and let's be straight. The government has been very straight. That language that the Prime Minister used is straight language. He is not joking. He's calling you out. Now, I don't agree with it altogether, but he's being straight. But be straight. Let's hear from the port. Let's hear from the government. Tell us who is standing in whose way and why. Give me some specifics. Because insofar as failure is concerned in growing Freeport's economy, growing Grand Bahama's economy, every single administration since 2001 has been an utter failure in that regard, and the port has been an utter failure in that regard. Since 2001, the numbers are clear. The realities are clear. People who live in Freeport, it's clear. And I can tell you, let me tell you something. It is very difficult to do business, certain kinds of business, in the Bahamas and certain kinds of business in Freeport. You talk about the government nickel and diming you. Oh, my God, there's some, not the port. There's some port agencies. Oh, my God, something you all need a change. Change. Because you are a hindrance to efforts to be entrepreneurial in Freeport. I can call names one day. I ain't calling them today. But I have personal experience with that. Right? Something's wrong. But I don't want to try and just get in this, it's the port only, it's, you know, the government only. They are both to blame. Both to blame. And the blame isn't only with Freeport. I say again, somebody argue with me. Look at East Grand Bahama. Look at West Grand Bahama. They are government controlled. Go on these other islands and look at those islands. Eleuther's doing well. Thank God for that one project, right? That Disney project and others, right? But other islands, no problem. What's the solution? The port is not working. What's the solution? Give Freeport to the government? Okay. I mean, that's possible. I just will, you know, possible. Find some new developers. And take charge of the Grand Bahama Port Authority and be progressive and be really innovative and be aggressive in doing so? Yes. 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 It is possible. It is possible. It is possible. At least let's see the effort and see what the effort yields. But I'm not going to get on a port bashing tour as the only reason for the failure. Right? We have to acknowledge that the government, the port, together or apart, have not been able to move the economic prosperity needle of Freeport or East Grand Bahama or West Grand Bahama, which have nothing to do with the Port Authority. Okay? So when we are fixing economic realities for these islands, fix it in a way that says, this is the real reason for the issue. Tech says, Mr. Lang, this is a midterm in the sense of administration report and therefore will generally be lackluster. With the recent reopening of the economy, it would take gross mismanagement to fall short of projections. Mr. Davis is playing it safe and just tinkering around the edges at the moment. We'll have to wait for the debate to see if anything significant shakes loose. Actually, I don't agree that it, because it's midterm, that it's lackluster. That's not true. I've been in two budget periods, and midterms don't have a lackluster reality just because they're midterm at all. When governments have good news to report, they report them. And governments have great announcements to make, they make them. And midterm does not come up at all. In the Ministry of Finance, we don't talk about whether it's midterm, so no problem. It doesn't happen. This text says, yes, that announcement was a huge shot across the bow of the Port Authority. It was mentioned that some details may be forthcoming during the debate. In any event, that was the most significant point of the debate. Could it be it's meant to be a distraction since nothing else notable is happening in terms of government performance, or should I say lack thereof? That's some people could read it that way. The good day line, yeah, okay. Well, you cannot call the show down because we're going to take a break for news. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. We're going to take a break from news. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lai, your host of SoCal 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, this budget Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 4-2-3-4-7-1-6, sorry. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I think somebody indicated they were going to call in. Anton was trying to call. I don't know if he's on the line yet. We have a text here, says, what are your thoughts on the National Guard and how that could possibly be shaped? I have no thoughts on that because there was not sufficient information or details given to be able to intelligently speak on. We'll have to see what more detail we get, but I don't have any idea. This text says, can the government build another port in Grand Bahama? Yeah, the government could go and build. It's not, the port is not, I hope you don't mean a port as in simply a place where the ships and them come in. That's not, the port area is a city. It's a city. So can the government create another city in Grand Bahama? Of course it can. You've seen the government create another city any time in the last 60 years? Any place else? We have two cities in the Bahamas. Nassau and Freeport. One was built by the government. One was built over time by the governments of the Bahamas going back before independence. And the other one was built starting before independence by a private company. Where else is there a city in the Bahamas? Some people argue, oh, Marshab is a city. Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. So, yes, the government can. Just the question for you is, has the government done so? We got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hey, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, a pleasant good afternoon, Brother Lang. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. And good afternoon to you.
All right. I see you're off to a fast start, eh?
Yeah, fast? No, man. I'm trying to fill the space because you all wouldn't call. So what do you want me to do? I can make commentary. you know what this show would sound like if I wasn't saying nothing.
I don't know why people are afraid to call in particular on today, but let me start off by.
Maybe you ain't excited enough, Anton, but the problem at, man.
Man, no, I don't think that's what it is. I do not think that's what it is. but let me disclose. I didn't get an opportunity to fully tune in to the Prime Minister, Honorable Philip Davis, communication.
Mm.
I was stuck in betwixt and in between. I had parental obligation as well.
Mm.
I'm not doing too well either on top of that. But I was tuning in via radio as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, Shabago, from the statement that I heard last night, which is what the Prime Minister said, what I want to hear what that represents. That statement being,
Anton, for some reason you seem to be fading a bit. So I don't know, maybe check your volume.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, that's better.
You can hear me better now?
Yeah, much better, yeah.
Okay, right. Well, the Prime Minister indicated, which got my ears tickled, that that the biggest portions of the budget would be going towards two particular areas, one being national security, right?
Mm.
And the other being social outreach, right? And so Shabago, I am very interested in details in the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, Honorable Philip Davis, laying out the details of exactly what that means. Because that could spell very good for the country, Shabago, if the government is more interventions and more interjections to seek to balance the scale, especially for Bahamians who are still in the recovery mode as a result of not only COVID-19, but as a result of Hurricane Dorian, right? Because people are still reeling from those losses.
But Antoine, I when you get a chance, because you were in and out, and I was unable to hear it myself, so I had to read the communication, right?
Right.
So get a chance to read the communication. So the points that you just mentioned, there's not much detail in the communication. So we'll have to see what happens maybe in the seconding to the debate. He might mention more details. But then what's more important is, what's more important is the numbers. See, the budget is about money.
I agree.
And so whatever the rhetoric is, the money has to follow. And so we have to look at the numbers. And so we don't have those. You know, if you tell me you're going to do outreach, if you tell me you're going to do something in national security, then that has to be reflected in money, because if it's not reflected in money and you get the same money basically that you got last time, right, then, you know, you could have done last time what you're doing this time with the same amount of money.
Well, except just on that point right at the just the Prime Minister said, Chabag, yep, the budget this fiscal year is going towards...
But Antoine, what I'm saying to you is, you said what was mentioned last night. Well, the budget was delivered today. We heard the communication. I read it twice.
Right.
And now I want to see the details of the numbers. So what the Prime Minister said in alluding to something versus his communication, his actual communication, the details of the budget, that's what matters.
Okay, well, I don't disagree with you, Shabago. As you would recall, I said I would like to hear the details.
That's right. That's what me and you are in agreement. That's what I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that the details that we need to get, because it wasn't in the communication yet, and we haven't had the detailed numbers to see how that translates.
But for me, Shabago, from where I stand, I'm inspired by that, because I believe that the Prime Minister is going to have lots of meaningful details whenever he releases them during his budget debate or his next contribution in Parliament, or whether it be through the various ministers of social services and the Minister of National Security, right? Being Obi Welshcombe, Honorable Obi Welshcombe, and Wayne Monroe Casey. Another thing I wanted to mention to you that you were speaking about a little earlier in your communication, Chabago, you were talking about the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the announcement the Prime Minister made in regards to action that he will announce in short order, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. And you were drawing the illustration as to the development or underdevelopment or slow development that's taking place on East and West Grand Bahama as opposed to Freeport, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, what I wanted to add to that, Chabago, is this. And while I understand your point wholeheartedly, what I also see in what is happening is there is a special agreement that was entered into where the government of the Bahamas granted a particular group the special privilege of the Bahamas, right, Chabago? And that has nothing to do with the issues of what is going on East or on West Grand Bahama. Those stand on their own merits.
No, Antoine. They have everything to do with it. Everything to do with it, because you look at Freeport versus East and West Grand Bahama and just ask yourself, what's the difference?
Well, I understand your point from that perspective, but I'm not speaking to it from that perspective. What I'm speaking to, Chabago, is if you enter an agreement with a private investor, a private foreign direct investor, to develop a particular part of your country, right, Chabago? And time could prove to you, based on that development, that they were doing their due diligence, that they were fulfilling the obligations, that they were being held to account in whatever is in that agreement. But you could also see, Chabago, in modern times, that same group has fallen down with the advancement of Grand Bahama. Should the government turn a blind eye to that, or should the government seek to hold it?
No, yeah, you are right. The government, I said that, the government shouldn't turn a blind eye to it. But Antoine, you and I both know that if somebody is ill and you diagnose the wrong problem, you will give the wrong prescription.
I agree.
And so all I'm saying is, let's get to the problem. Let's not try. See, let me tell you something. It is a political win,
right,
to cut the Port Authority. Right. Just like it's a political way to cut Haitians and to cut banks and foreign investors in the Bahamas, you can't lose politically on that. Right? Right. But if that's not really the problem,
right,
then that doesn't help us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ask me, would Freeport benefit from a new set of owners with deep development pockets and serious, what does place call in the Dubai vision for a place? Oh, man, my brother, I'd be all on board. All on board. But if you said to me, Freeport would benefit from the government owning Freeport, you can cause me to feel I can take a pause. Pause. I'm sorry. And it wouldn't have mattered to me if it was the Ingram government or the Christie government or this government or Minnis government. Don't make no difference to me.
Right.
I would not be enthusiastic.
No. And Shibago, I understand because I've heard you spoken to this past as it relates to the hotel corporation and governments, previous successive governments had been in the manner of turning a net profit in managing hotels. So I understand your perspective as it relates to government and running certain private entities. What I'm going to ask, Shibago, is something has to be done, Shibago, because it is clear that the ball has been dropped on Grand Bahama as the Port Authority. It is clear that they're selecting, based on the report that former Prime Minister, Right Honorable Perry Christie had produced, right, in his last term, first term as Prime Minister. Based on that report, the Port Authority is collecting around $150 million in taxes, right, Shibago? Rain, sun, or shine, they are collecting around $150 million. However, on the flip side, they are not living up to their obligations. And so, granted that they may have done great, as you pointed out, for the development of Freeport to a certain point, they are not fulfilling their obligations today.
Yes.
And has to address that. Now, how the government addresses that, that's for the negotiations around the table. But I'm
looking
forward to the government either working with the principals at the Port Authority or the Port Authority seeking to work with the government of the Bahamas in finding a solution that best fits for the advancement and all Bahamians who reside on Grand Bahama.
Thank you, Anton. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Thank you, man. If you ask me, I think the most ideal circumstance for Freeport is a joint venture between some Bahamian investors and some deep-pocketed, a joint venture between some deep-pocketed Bahamian investors, innovative investors, and international investors with deep pockets and serious innovation. You know, people like, get mad with me. Y'all get mad with me. People like Anthony Ferguson, C. Fowl, who has demonstrated a out-of-the-box thinking capacity to inspire others to put and invest monies into things. People like them, behemoths like them, in partnership with international concerns like the one that produced the port, the cruise port that we are all bragging about now, that's what needs to happen for Freeport. Hallelujah. That's what needs to happen for Freeport, man. All right? They're not talking. Really, seriously. Right? Freeport needs a champion, set of champions who can move across the globe and champion its cause. Right? Anyway. Battle continues. Now, I asked y'all what y'all thought about the budget. I got some commentary saying, like, all y'all want me to do is talk. This text says, good day, Shibago. One thing I get out of the budget as a public servant could pay to their pension plan, it long overdue. I have 5 more years in the service. Is that what the government is doing now? The government is now allowing you to pay into your pension plan? Did they make that announcement? Because if they did, that's something. I didn't read it, but maybe you heard it. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Memories was very good for Freeport about 6 years, although it was all inclusive. It had a lot of us employed. Yeah, they are. You know, Freeport had, for a time in the 90s, Freeport had a good run, you know, but with the construction of Alukaya and opening up of Alukaya, with the coming of the Grand Bahama Shipyard, with the container port, with Bradford Marine coming in, with the new the takeover of the old Syntex, with the you know, so Freeport had a stint. It had a stint, but one of the things that I think is erroneously thought by some of the people who promote the Port Authority is that Freeport was only to be an industrial zone and it needs to be promoted as such. That kind of thinking ignores a basic reality of Freeport, which is that a large segment of Freeport's population, labor population, was engaged in the tourism sector. And that for them, at their ages, between 40 and 60, at their ages, there isn't any massive shift that is possible between the hospitality sector and the industrial sector. They need hotels. They need recreational, international, touristic developments in Freeport or Grand Bahama, or East Grand Bahama or West Grand Bahama. They need those things to be able to employ those people, to give them the means to continue to fund their lives and to raise their children, etc. And then if you could grow to the industrial sector of Freeport more, and I don't see that happening no dime. So I don't even see where the capacity exists to significantly to do that. Then you could talk about what could happen for younger Bahamians, right? But we cannot ignore realities. When you have had a country, an island, and significant portions of its labor invested in a certain industry like tourism, you can't turn around and decide you ain't that no more. Y'all want to see Freeport thrive? Get a successful hotel there. You don't even need many. Just get one or two really robustly successful hotels in there and watch how the fortunes of the Bahamas would change with it. Okay? This notion, oh, we don't need a tourism. Come on, please. Please. Let's live in the real world. All right? Because if you believe something else is the thing, then go get the thing. Go get the something else. How come that you can't get that yet? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Okay. We don't have a caller? All right. This text says, another thing that stood out to me was when the PM spoke to the issue of crime and how others seek to use it as a political football. While I agree that this should never be the case, hearing it from someone who took the politicization of crime to an all during a recent campaign season is hypocrisy at its best. Yeah. I mean, no political side, no FNM, no PLP side should talk about the politicization of crime. None should. Because and I don't even use it as a criticism, because hell, if crime is out of control or if crime is growing under a administration tenure, hell, you expect the other side to call it out. Why wouldn't they? That's nonsense. If crime were going down, what do you think the government would say? Do you think the government would say, oh, look how we together reduce crime? You would, no, the government would say, oh, look at how my administration reduced crime, and look at what we've done in getting crime down. So that's nonsense. That's nonsense talk. Politics, the crime and immigration, crime and any negative or positive thing becomes a part of the political fray of a political group. That's just something. All right? And if you're alluding to the fact that Prime Minister Davis in his former life was behind the spearheading of huge signs reflecting the number of murders in the Bahamas, yes, that does suggest that him calling that matter out is a little bit challenging for sure, right? But again, that's part of the fray. That's what happens. That's what happens. And somebody, the opposition commenting on crime doesn't stop you from fighting crime. I mean, think about that for a moment, right? Because the opposition leader says, oh, look what you're all doing in crime. You all ain't doing nothing in crime. How does that, what does that have to do with the police doing intelligence work to prevent crime, with the police doing rigorous work to enforce, to catch criminals? That has never stopped them from doing what they do. And if the government, if the opposition was silent on crime, that doesn't stop some. So if the opposition doesn't say anything about crime, does it stand to reason that a criminal is going to decide, oh, you know, the opposition ain't saying nothing, so I'm not going to shoot that man. I'm not going to rob that person. I'm not going to rape that person. It just doesn't follow. Right? It doesn't follow. No. If crime is a problem, and it's a growing problem, because we as a society continue to have members of our society who are prepared to go ahead and commit the crime, or that we have not found the means through our forces, law enforcement agencies, to do something about it as to the extent that we want yet. To put that on politicization by others, that to me is, it's not a point. It has never been a point. It was never a point when the PLP did it, and it was never a point when the FNM did it. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, Minister.
Hey, hi, how you doing? Shivago here. What's up?
Yeah, well, you're still my minister. I don't care what you call yourself.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it, but I don't want people out there get me mixed up, you know, because people are not always kind. Go right ahead, my friend.
Okay. This surplus, you're saying that there is some concern when the government seems to be having a surplus but not paying off their debt. Something to that extent you mean?
No, I'm not saying it's a concern. I'm saying, like, let's say you have $100 in your account, right? You have $100 in your account, but you owe somebody and some people $1,000. Do you really have a surplus?
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's it. On the budget, and then contractors are owed millions of dollars, or people who the government got properties from are owed millions of dollars. Do you really have a surplus?
So they're juggling.
Well, sometimes that's what it amounts to. It amounts to a kind of effort to present a good face. Sometimes it is a cash management issue. That's true.
Mr. Lang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I went, you know, when I was in Hawkesville in Lewis Yard, there was a Lang family, and I think you may be related, and I love them so much.
All the Langs are related. All the Langs, all the Lines, L-Y-N-E-S, and all the L-A-N-G-E are related.
But all
and the L-A-I-N-G.
They all are beautiful people. I can tell you, they're all beautiful people, because one saved my life. I wish it was you.
Really? Okay.
Personally. But help me understand this. We have a prime minister who is presenting a budget. And he's presenting...
Well, really, you have a Minister of Finance presenting the budget who happens to be Prime Minister.
Oh, boy, you're so good. Okay, fine. And then he's putting together something that sounds good, and we knock on the table and feel happy about it, but there are no figures, and you're waiting for the figures to back up what he's saying. Is that correct?
No, he has figures. This particular budget doesn't have as much details in it in terms of figures as I had seen in previous times, but he has figures, and he has a document that has all the detailed figures.
Could I cut to the chase and ask you a simple question?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that the next budget debate or the next whatever utterance that comes out of some prime minister's mouth is going to be tied around a bigger deficit, or is it going to be tied around surplus?
Nah, I don't seem likely to continue to go down, when the next election comes, the budget before that is probably going to have a bigger deficit than the ones before that.
Oh, so what we're saying is people are actually coming into government and creating debt.
Yeah, but that's not new. They're creating the debt. You've been deficit spending from you became an independent country.
So have we not become independent? We probably would have been running a surplus
Well, I can't say that, but you were running, when you were running a surplus before you were independent, your country sucked because lots of Bahamians were not being educated. The Family Islands had no infrastructure and so forth and so forth. So you were not a modernizing country.
You are quite right. So where do we go from here, Mr. Lang? Are we on a path of some kind of reconstruction, or are we on a path of demolition?
No, I mean, the country, you know, we have to be thankful for the fortunes we have, but clearly, we have to do much better. We have to find better, broader, and deeper economic growth and development for this country, and then the government has to improve its outcomes in terms of the fiscal management process, right? So we have that to do. But Bahamians have to take on some personal responsibility for their own prosperity, development, and the like. So there is room all around for all of us to do some things to make the Bahamas a better place.
Final question, Minister. Mr. Lang. If you were teaching the ability to tap into the $7 trillion that passed through the bank as it relates to foreign crypto, instead of having some foreign Jewish come in here and show us that it's possible to get $1 billion to trade with because you're connected to that community, if we were looking at that level of adventure, would we be better off by Tile, who like to play Pac-Man, Boogeyman, and all these games, to just play games with crypto, play games with Forex, and find a way and find a secret, find a strategy so that we don't need government?
No. No, you wouldn't. That's a fantasy, actually.
It is a fantasy.
Yeah. That would not be the thing. I'd not be encouraging young Bahamians to go learn how to do crypto before they learn how to manage their finances, meaning how to spend less than you earn, make some savings for emergency purposes, and then take the surplus you have and invest them in some more secure, stable things like some funds, some of these mutual funds and maybe some exchange traded funds and them kind of things. I wouldn't advise on crypto before those things happen.
Forex, the basic Forex, which are the major currency pairs like the US and all those, you're saying don't bother with that.
If you're not a big investor with lots of money, trading on your own account for Forex is very risky and unlikely to get you where you need to go. Now, some people can get fortunate and do it that way, but that's not a mass strategy for helping lots of your citizens move forward.
I thank you so very much, Mr. Lang.
Come on, anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local rep, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, also medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
The sixth edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th, get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, visit thebahamasgames.org.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
The car?
I ain't mash the car. The lady run into me mash the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app.
Put RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We have a text here that says, the underlying problem with Freeport is that investors at a global level have not forgotten that bend or break era. The partisan politics is such that our leaders need to be weaned of this five-year view of our nation. Freeport had cable more than 50 years ago, man. Well, I don't doubt that there may be some people who were a part of that, in quote, bend or break era who may have still bad feelings, but I don't think that that's what's holding Freeport back at all. I don't think that there are many investors who have no clue about that and nobody's told them anything about that. So I don't think that that's the issue at all. Saul Kirzner came to Freeport looking at Freeport as a possibility of doing his Atlantis project. So
your morning sizzle with breakfast from Burger King Nassau. Enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75, including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with Burger King's savory sizzling sausage and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. So say hello to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75, including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Mocha frapp with almond milk. No whip?
That's me. Thanks. I know what I want for my coffee and for my wealth management plan. That's why I rely on the personalized care I get from my dedicated RF private. I get a customized strategy designed for what's important to me, like protecting my assets, evolving with changing markets, and making sure my money keeps on growing. For tailor-made wealth management, I trust RF Private Wealth.
Learn more at rfgroup.com.
When you get back home from vacation, the last thing you want to do is stand on another line to fill out your exemption paperwork. Well, guess what? You don't. Customs just got simpled with Exempt. Now, with the click of a button, you can fill out your customs form, calculate duties, and even pay online while you're still traveling. Just show your QR code to the customs officer, let them check your bag, and you're out of there. All you have to do is download the Exempt app. It's as easy as 3, 2, 1. Exempt, making travel and customs simple. As of June 12, 2023, this app will become mandatory for all returning residents of the Bahamas. The Exempt app is now available on Google Play or Apple App.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Rulang, your host. So glad you could join me on this trying Wednesday. Technical difficulty Wednesday. I apologize. It's nothing I can do. This text says, if you were asked to rate the budget as it was presented, 10 being very good, what would your rating be? I would much rather hear what yours would be. How would you rate it? What would your number be? This text is always something additional as I listen. Just wondering if you picked up on the PM's pronouncement about the country moving towards independence. Maybe he said greater independence. In any event, if you heard it, what do you make of it? Should we expect a debate? I did not hear it.
Look what he just texted me. Oh my goodness. Watch out!
Mobile devices are killing pedestrians as there have been nearly 6,000 deaths and over 11,000 injuries as a result of texting and walking. Don't make your next text your last breath. Brought to you by UB Radio in conjunction with Guardian Radio 96.9.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.